Talking Sandful with Bevo and Smurf.
Yes, welcome to the show again, where we focus on all things Sandful and bring you the latest news and biggest guests every week. Bevo here in the host chair, joined as always by Steve Smurf Murphy. And Smurf, the footy is heating up. We've only got one more week to go before the finals.
We have, mate, although the sad thing is, I suppose, and essentially this weekend doesn't mean a whole lot in terms of the rest of the season because the finals are already known. We know who's playing who. Probably the only thing that's of interest in terms of what could happen on the ladder is that mathematically West Adelaide can get off the bottom of the ladder. Now, they need to win by about 87 goals and they need Centrals to lose as well by a similar margin, although Centrals are playing the Eagles, so they could get beaten by a lot. Who knows? But anyway, highly unlikely, but apart from that, of course, everything else is pretty much set in concrete. But we are all excited about what lies ahead with the finals starting in less than 2 weeks.
And the big guests keep on rolling through. Murph, who have we got on tonight?
We have the coach of the Central Districts Football Club, the great Jeff Andrews, and we're going to ask him a few things, Bevo, everything from his thoughts on what Luke Harbaugh said about him when we spoke to him a few weeks ago, to along the more serious lines of things like what he's learnt from the great Mark Williams, who he worked with when he was at Werribee over the last few years.
Yeah, and also I wanted to ask him about his nickname Joffa, if it's anything to do with the Collingwood cheer squad leader, of course, the man himself with the gold jacket, everyone knows so well.
Yeah, and initially you would think that he wouldn't want to be aligned with the Collingwood Joffa, but I've heard the Collingwood Joffa speak, and he's actually quite an intelligent and knowledgeable and friendly kind of guy, which is not what you would think from the outside looking in.
Very, very true. I've been lucky enough to interview him in person, and just one of the nicest blokes ever. Does great stuff for the community and his role as well over there in Victoria. So,
Is the Central Districts version of Joffa, and we'll speak to him later in the podcast. Let's go through the ladder after round 13, the penultimate round, if you like. The Eagles on top, where they will stay, again, unless North Adelaide, who are second, win by about 94 goals. Fairly decent percentage margin there for the Eagles. So they'll finish minor premiers, you would think. North Adelaide will finish second, then South and Glenelg. Now, they can swap positions. Doesn't really mean a lot because they'll still play in the first semi-final against each other. But South currently third and Glenelg fourth, both on the same point. Then Nord, unfortunately, their season is over. As we've already said, they'll finish in the fifth position with 12 points. Sturt on 10 points in sixth, Central's in seventh, and West Adelaide currently bottom on 1.5 wins.
That's right, Smurf. And obviously, we had an interesting weekend of footy. Absolute thriller down at the Bay on Saturday in the Twilight game. Obviously, mate, that was one that you expect the Bays to win, but certainly a lot closer than most would have expected.
It's been a tough couple of weeks for Glenelg, hasn't it? They haven't had a great couple of weeks and not ideal form leading into a big few weeks after this week. But they won, albeit just, which ensured them a spot in the first semi-final next week. Eventually, the Bays winning 11 goals, 11-77 by just that 1 point to Central's rather inaccurate 10 goals, 16-76. It was an even first half with the Dogs leading by 14 points at quarter time, and the Bays going into halftime with that 4 point lead. They led by 2 goals at three-quarter time, and as we've mentioned, ended up winning by the solitary point, with Doggies kicking 4 goals, 5 to 3 goals straight in the last term to almost get there. Bailey, Partington and Snook kicked 2 goals each for Glenelg. Virgin with 30 disposals and 8 marks. Park and Snook with 27 touches each for Central Districts. Butcher, who's now kicked 11 goals in his last 3 games. He's on fire, is Butch. He kicked another 3 goals on the weekend. Stevenson and Jenner with 2 each. I might ask Joffa a bit about Butcher, because I'm a fan of Butcher's, and just to see what Joffa thinks about his kicking these days. Jared Schiller, anyway, had 34 touches to go with his 7 tackles, so he had a good day out. And the competition leading disposal getter, James Boy, racked up another 33 possessions. Trav Schiller had 28. All right, the Eagles took on West Adelaide, and West Adelaide pretty good at home this year, but not good enough against the might of the Eagles, Bevo. They were too good, the Eagles, on Friday night.
That's right, Smurf. It was the Eagles winning 16 goals, 14, 110 to Westies, 5 goals, 4, 34. They got out of the blocks with a 6 goal, 6 to 1 straight in the first term, and it was all one-way traffic from there, really. The Eagles showing they're going to be very hard to beat in this year's finals. Jimmy Rowe, the son of Stephen Rowe, former Nord star, of course, he kicked 5 goals to take over the lead on the Ken Farmer medal race. Now, he's 3 goals ahead of Glenelg's Liam McBean, and wouldn't it be great to see a small forward win it this year, Smurf, in terms of the Ken Farmer medal?
You would think with a three-goal gap, he's pretty much got it with one game to go, but you never know.
That's right. And, of course, Lowson kicked four, and Big Redden chipped in with two goals. Now, one thing that's been really good, Smurf, this year is seeing all these VFL recruits being involved in the sample, of course, with no VFL over there in Victoria due to the COVID situation. And one of those has been James Cheetahs. He's had a really good year for the Eagles, and he had 39 disposals and 10 tackles on the weekend. And Joe Siner is another one's having a good season for the Eagles. He had 30 possessions, and Chris Hall with 27. For Westies, a man who always leads the way in terms of possession count, he had 32, Josh Schiller and Turner were 25 each, and Morris with three goals for the Bloods. Now, Murph, it was a big game for Norwood on Saturday up against South Adelaide. Norwood looking to keep their finals hopes alive with a win over South, but it wasn't to be. What happened down there at Noarlunga?
Yeah, always hard to win at Noarlunga, and it was an important game for Norwood, as you just said, Bevo, but they weren't good enough, unfortunately, and after Glenelg then won later that day, they knew their season was over, sadly. South had a 7-point lead at quarter time in the match, but then ran all over Norwood after kicking 13 goals, 12 to 3 goals, 5 for the rest of the game to win 17-14, 116 to Norwood's just 6 goals, 642. So very disappointing in the end for them, with South dominating the inside 50s, 55 to 36. You're going to find it hard to win if you're on the wrong side of that ledger. Joel Cross again, Bevo. Wow, he's on fire. He was the difference, I reckon, with 28 disposals and 3 goals, 3 as well to go with 7 marks, 5 tackles and 4 clearances. Bogle kicked 3 goals. Colotto, Hunter and Wilson kicked 2 goals each. Joey Haynes was good again with his 29 disposals in defence. Former Crows listed ruckman Hunter played his best game for South Adelaide with 21 disposals, and that was to go with his 2 goals and 27 hitouts. For Norwood, Pinion and Barry kicked 2 goals each, and Rokar with 25 disposals had a good day, and so too did Douglas, again with 24. Big game as well, particularly for Sturt at Unley Oval, to give them any remote chance of making the finals. They had to win. Didn't pan out that way, unfortunately.
That's right. A bit like Norwood, they were just beaten by better opposition. Yeah. And North Adelaide's another team that we'll certainly see being right up there this year, a real contender for the flag. And North are out of the blocks early, Smurf, and led 6 goals 3 to 2 straight at quarter time. They went on to win pretty comfortably in the end, 12 goals 13, 85 to Sturt, 8 goals 6, 54. Really good signs considering they're missing some key players as well from their midfield and some key leaders. So a really good result there for the Roosters. Will Coombe, Davies, Lebois and Minervini with 2 goals each. Campbell Coombe backing up his 34 touches last week with another big day out. 30 disposals, 10 tackles and 12 clearances, Smurf. What a day for him.
Yeah, had a great day out. I wonder if the coaches had planned, Bevo, for a cold, wet day on Saturday, because the forecast was for this torrential rain to pour down, and none of it turned up. In fact, I even noticed in the reserves, I was actually at the reserves at Unley Oval, a couple of the players in that game were wearing long sleeve tops because they obviously thought the same thing, and instead they probably got sunburned.
Unreal. And I was actually up in the Adelaide Hills watching my brother in a grand final for Birdwood, the mighty Birdwood Roosters, and expecting the same thing. I've rocked up with jackets, beanies, all sorts of things, and no hat, no sunscreen, ended up getting sunburnt. So what the heck?
And of course, because they do pick their teams based on the weather, maybe more taller players or more smaller players, whatever suits the conditions. But I suppose it's the same for both teams, isn't it? How do the Sturt players go, Bevo?
Yeah, that's right. And in the end, it was Sam Colquhoun having a really good year for the Double Blues with 33 possessions and 7 tackles. Abe Davis, he's been excellent this year for Sturt, moving across from South Adelaide previously. He had 22 possessions and 5 clearances. Faye Sparks and McEntee with 2 goals each for the Double Blues.
Time to speak to this week's special guest. Let's play the central song, shall we?
One more roar and no more one, the way we play at Central. We are the mighty, mighty dogs.
That's right, Smurf. That is the sound of the mighty Central Districts Football Club song, also the Hawthorn Hawks as well. And we've got the great pleasure tonight of being joined by the new coach of the Doggies, who's done really good things in their first year, starting to play some really good footy. Jeff Joffa Andrews, great to have you on the show, mate.
Thanks, Bevo. Thanks, Steve. How are you, boys?
We're good, mate. Now, no pressure, Jeff, but so far we've done 8 podcasts, and every person we've spoke to every week so far, be it player or coach, their team has gone on to win that week. Now,
jeez,
we can get that over the
line. Last week,
that's what I'm thinking. We probably didn't pick a great week given where you are on the ladder and given you're playing the top team this week. But hey, if we can get you over the line this week, mate, we definitely are onto something, aren't we?
Well, we only lost by a point to Glenelg on the weekend, so maybe that little bit of help might have been what we needed. So, fingers crossed for this week.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do for you.
No, certainly, you mentioned before the game against the Bays, and really stiff, probably the inaccuracy cost you guys in the end, Joffa. You know, how'd you see the game? And you know, you must be pretty proud of the boys, though, to get so close to last year's premiers.
Yeah, look, we came away really disappointed, obviously. We've been playing reasonably. Played, obviously, North Adelaide the week before, who were a really good side. But, yeah, we put a four-quarter performance together. And I said to the boys after the game, you know, I was really proud of the effort. And it really, in the end, came down to a little bit of luck. We didn't take a few of our chances, and there was a few good learnings out of it. But to push them all the way at their home ground with them only a couple of weeks out from finals was pleasing. Wasn't the win that we wanted. But, finishing the year with a bit of form and some improvement.
Jeff, we'll talk more about this year in just a tick. We're going to go back a bit for now, if you don't mind. These are your words, not mine, but you were a hack player when you did play. Is that okay for me to say that?
Yes, more than okay, yeah.
Just wanted to check. Again, they were your words, not mine. Is it, in reflection, I suppose, maybe a good thing that your playing career ended so early, because still at your very young, tender age you are now, you've got all this coaching experience already, what, 20-odd years?
Yeah, look, at it, I suppose, yeah, I just love the game. And so I about 25 or 26, I had the back injury. I love my footy and love playing. But that wanting to be involved led me to the coaching path maybe a bit earlier than it would have otherwise. And, yeah, I certainly fell in love with coaching, and it was something that I've always wanted to do. So I guess, yeah, the 20 years experience at different levels has enabled me to be where I am now and thoroughly enjoying it.
And how did you actually end up at the Doggies? Did you sort of have connections here, or you sort of just applied online? How did it work?
Look, I applied. I was coaching at Werribee at the time, having got back into the VFL the last couple of years. And then my wife and I just spoke about it and said, you know, the opportunity to coach at state league level came up. We'd be prepared to go wherever that opportunity, you know, came, whether it was South Australia or Western Australia. So, yeah, I thought the Doggies job came up, and I just threw my hat in the ring and had a bit of a crack at throw at the stumps, not really sure how I'd go. And, yeah, I was lucky enough to stay in the interview process, and, yeah, I was really, really wrapped when it all came off.
So what you're saying is, Jeff, you got permission from the boss to move over here. Is that what you're saying?
Well, let's just say if I didn't, I wouldn't be.
Correct. Mate, you couldn't have had any better mentor than the great Mark Williams. Can you think of one thing off the top of your head that you learned from the great man that you're implementing in your career now?
Preparation, development of players, quality feedback. I know you saw you only wanted one.
Yeah, but yeah. But keep going, it's fine.
No, look, he basically came in having been at Richmond, you know, just previous and really having set up the GWS program before that. The year that he came in at Werribee were only 1 year into their standalone, having left the North Melbourne Alliance. And Choco just really came in and built a high-quality program. They expected a lot of the coaches and was really good at developing players, as you can see from, Jake Riccardi, who's now running around at GWS. And, learned a lot from him about preparation and how to hopefully put a really good football program together that enables us to get the best out of the players.
And, Jeff, I spoke a bit off-air to Murph before about the nickname Joffa. Now, he's obviously only known the name Joffa to be the Collingwood cheer squad person that everyone knows, you know, with his famous game over signs and his gold jackets, yeah, and what have you. How the heck do you end up with a nickname like that?
When I'm growing up in Melbourne, I think there was a cartoon character or a TV character back, you know, in the 60s and 70s called Joffa Boy. And, yeah, a lot of Jeffs ended up with Joffa as the nickname. So I was a ginger-haired kid with freckles that might have resembled the cartoon character. So I've been Joffa ever since I was a young fella.
Have you ever been invited to a Collingwood, talking night and they're disappointed because the other Joffa didn't show up? Or?
No, unlike that Joffa, he's got plenty of hair and I haven't got much. So they wouldn't be mistaking it.
You should mention that. We've got something to talk to you about when it comes to your hair later, but we'll mention that in a minute. Let's move on to that very quickly. I love sort of behind the scene stuff. Can you talk us through your night one this year when you rocked up at the Central Districts Football Club? Do you remember what it was like? Because I'm assuming most of the players wouldn't know a whole lot about you. Maybe they Facebook stalked you or something rather before you got there. But apart from that, obviously they wouldn't know a whole lot about your background. So how did you handle night one? Do you remember?
Yeah, the first night I met the players was basically calling them back from their break, and it was sort of announcing, I guess, myself as being a successful candidate. So, yeah, all the boys came in. We had a bit of a meal together, and I really just tried to outline what my basic philosophies were, that, you know, I wanted them to enjoy their footy. And it was going to take me time to get to know them all, but I wanted to do that, and I was here to help them get what they wanted out of their careers. So, it certainly took a bit of time, but it wasn't long before I got my feet under the desk and started meeting more one-on-one, and couldn't have been happier with how I've been received from the players and the way they've got down to work.
Does even a coach who's clearly done this for a long time, and I'm assuming he's not a nervous kind of person, would you get nervous on a night like that, or is it all sort of part of the deal?
No, you get nervous. You get a little bit nervous.
Yeah, right.
I think nerves are a good thing. Nerves are just preparing you. You always want to make a good impression. And, these guys, most of the guys in the room had been playing under the same coach for a long time.
Yeah,
so it was going to be very different for them. And it was my first go at it. So it was going to be different experience for me. But, it was something that I really looked back on and enjoyed. And the club were good. They flew me over for that week, and gave me the opportunity to meet and start talking to the players and getting a feel for the talent and the leadership that I had to work with.
And did you open with a joke, Jeff, or did you start serious from get go? Do you remember?
Look, unfortunately, humour is not one of my strong suits. So, if I was funny in any way, shape, or form, I would have had a crack at it. But no, I didn't. I sort of went down the casual path.
Well, next time you start at a new club, give us a call, mate. We're happy to look after you when it comes to come to humour. Yeah,
hopefully not for a while.
Yeah, fair enough. Yeah, good point.
I just want to congratulate you on such a wonderful job this year, Joffre. With all the injuries that you guys have had, and obviously Dan Menzel being out for the majority of the season, and the same as Troy, you've done such a wonderful job. How have you found your first year at the Doggies, though?
Yeah, look, disappointing. We'd like to have won more games. Challenging, but I think our supporters would be, seeing some signs of growth. We've played well over 40 players, the most of any team in the comp. We think we've found a few players. So we've found the year, really challenging. We want to be, we're not happy where we are and satisfied, and we want to be turning that around. But, seeing some growth in individual players, that's been pleasing and something that we can build on for the future. And I've loved the, our win against Norwood at home a couple of weeks ago. It was my real first experience of the crowd getting up and about, and that was something to really enjoy and savour, because that's part of Coaching Central's, that fantastic fan base that we have getting behind our players.
Can I ask you a question about Mr. Butcher? I don't know how much you know about his past. He's unfortunately been known in the past, particularly at AFL level, for being a fantastic mark, but not overly accurate when it comes to kicking goals. He's definitely improved. Have you been a part of that?
No, not really. I spoke to a sports psych that had a bit to do with Butch in his last couple of years at Port Adelaide, and probably not many people would know. I think he was kicking at about 60% in his last couple of years. So,
right.
Yeah, look, he's certainly kicking well over 50% for us this year. He's been good. He's come in. He wasn't going to play with the COVID situation. He ended up not being able to play where he was going to play and threw his hat in the ring, and we were short in the big man stakes, and he's given us someone to kick the ball at. He, whether his fitness is down on what it would have been having done a pre-season, he still fights tooth and nail, and when the ball's on the ground, and he crashes packs and does those sorts of things that help set up and retain the ball in our forward line. So Butch has been, he's been good for us. I'm sure, like everybody, he'd like to kick a few more goals, but his goal kicking has been reasonable this year.
I think he's underrated. I'm a big fan. Jeff, before we get into our highly intelligent and probing segment called Dishing the Dirt, I do need to replay an answer to one of these questions from your captain that we did earlier this year that involves you. Yeah. He's a bit concerned already, Bevo, I think. The question was three words to describe yourself as, to describe the coach, and this was his response. Have a listen.
Three words to describe your coach, Jeff Joffre Andrews, of course, this year's being his first year at the club.
Positive, bald, and stats. Loves his stats.
You have the right of reply, Jeff. The floor is yours.
He will keep. Three words.
If he's playing reserves over the next few weeks or next year, we know why.
Look, he's been terrific for us as a captain this year. His first year in the job, Luke. Loved by supporters, players, staff alike, and couldn't have been happier with the way he's gone about his first year in the job. And he was probably right. Yeah, passionate, bold, and like my stats.
Fair enough.
Hey, if it makes you feel any better, Joffre, I'm receding myself, and I've copped it for years from my mates, even so they even had bald rankings back in the day and put me as number one all the time ahead of people like Chris Judd and these sort of guys, even when I did have hair. So I know exactly what it's like to be given crap.
Frightfully challenged, they call it, I think, don't they?
Frightfully challenged, that's
All right, mate, let's do it. Dishing the Dirt, here we go. Interesting to see if your answers are similar to Luke's with these questions. The funniest person at your club and why?
Kyle Presbury. No filter, just comes out. So, yeah, Prez.
Fair enough.
Bloke at the club that loves the mirror the most, Jeff?
Ooh, probably Boydie.
Okay. And how would you describe yourself as a coach in three words? Similar to Luke?
Passionate, learner, bald. There you go.
Pretty similar, yes.
What a great sport. Yeah. Love your work, mate. And players at the club who love reality TV, Joffa?
Well, I'm going to tell you a quick little story, if that's all right.
Yeah.
We're sitting in a match committee this year, you know, picking a side on a Wednesday night, and it was the week, it was the week that Big Brother had finished. And
right.
So we're sitting there, and we've got Daniel Menzel and a couple of the young guys in the room who got it on tape, not wanting to know who'd won.
Right.
And John Platten blurts out that his wife had just texted him who the winner was.
Really?
All of us looked in the room. I hadn't watched it, but all of us looked in the room, looked at each other, and said, "John, you watch Big Brother?" He said, "Yeah, I watch it every night." So, there's one for you. John Platten was going home to Big Brother and got his wife to text him the results.
Wow! So, no, we would have not have picked that one, Bever.
No,
that is brilliant.
That blew us away, and there was a couple of disappointed boys because they knew the result before they got home to watch it.
So, and it was his fault. There you go.
Yeah, it was.
All right, mate. And last question was the biggest nerd at the club. Who's your thoughts on that one? You can pick yourself if you like.
Yeah, look, I probably me.
Thought you might. All right, mate, quickly before you go, if you wouldn't mind, just your thoughts on the games this weekend, which is pretty much dead rubbles around, unfortunately. But anyway, Norwood hosting West Adelaide at Coopers on Friday night.
Yeah, look, Norwood, they'll want to finish the year off well. So definitely, unfortunately, Westies are limping to the line, I think, a little bit. So I think Norwood will get that one.
And Sturt hosting the Bays, obviously, who you guys played last week. Sturt playing for pride, obviously, and the Bays getting ready for finals. Actually, I want to ask you, Joffa, would you rest players if you were coaching the Bays?
Absolutely. Absolutely, I would. If there's nothing to be gained, you're going in. Unfortunately, with the Bays finishing in the third, fourth slot, if they were lucky enough to get there, they're going to be playing 14 games in a row and then three finals in a row. So, yeah, I'd be resting as many as I could. They're going to play South the week after regardless. So if you get a few boys that are a little bit fitter and healthier and fresher, that's going to help.
I would tend to agree with you, except for maybe Glenelg, because they haven't had a great couple of weeks. Is winning form important or resting players is more important?
Oh, look, I think with the players that they've got, and I was talking to Stoney after the game on the weekend, and we caught up and had a chat. And the one thing I said to him was, he'd obviously like their team to be playing better, but they've been there and done that. And they, you know what I mean? That history only being 12 months old of winning it, those blokes go into any game they play, know that it was only 12 months ago that they got the big result on the big day. So I think having them fresh, that's certainly the way that I'd go.
Yeah, fair enough. On Sunday, the Roosters head to Noarlunga to take on South Adelaide.
Yeah, look, if they're both at full strength, North, we haven't played the Eagles since earlier in the season, but in the second half of the season, North are the best team we've played with their pressure. So okay. I'd be tipping them to get over the line as long as they're both at full strength.
And finally, you have a tough ask against top of the ladder, the Eagles that Smurf mentioned earlier on in our chat. What's impressed you about the Eagles this year? And I guess, what do you have to do to cause an upset?
Yeah, look, you've got to... What's impressed me is their defence. Norwood got hold of them a couple of weeks ago. But apart from that, they're considerably, by a considerable margin, the best defence in the comp. They zone, they move the ball quickly with handball. So Norwood kept the ball off them that night. So that's certainly one strategy. We're hoping that their zone we can break their zone down a little bit this week on the big deck at Elizabeth. And we certainly hope that they rest half their team. So, but yeah, look, yeah, they're a quality outfit, well coached by Jade. He's changed a few things since he's come in, and they're playing really good footy. So they'll certainly be hard to beat, but our boys are finishing full of steam, and they've got a bit to play for. We certainly, the queue hasn't gone in the rack. We're seeing good improvement in how we want to play and in individual performances. So We want to finish the game with a great effort, and hopefully that's enough.
And don't forget, just the fact that you spoke to us means your team wins this week, Joffa. So keep that in mind. Yes.
Well, but just I'm not allowed to bet on it, boys. But maybe you are, and we'll be big odds. So
get the house on it, you reckon?
It might be worth a dollar on
yeah,
it.
Yeah, right. Gamble responsibly, of course. Joffa, pleasure, mate. Good luck for this week, and I suppose more importantly for everyone down at Elizabeth next year and ahead.
Thanks, Bevo, Steve. Appreciate the time.